This morning, as we go into God's Word, we are going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Just two short verses at that point. But it's something that God has kind of laid on my heart over the past couple weeks or whatever. But this verse finally came to my study point just over the last week or so. And so I want us to look at this and just to understand, I think, understand the misunderstandings, if that's probably not proper English or whatever, but there are a lot of people that misunderstand, and we need to understand why they're misunderstanding. If that hasn't got you confused enough, then let's go ahead and I'll start reading in verse 12 of chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I have commanded you today for your good." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, may it be nothing but that. Lord, don't let me add anything to it, take anything away from it, but just give what you have given. Lord, use it to glorify yourself. Draw us to the point of where we need to be, that we might honor you, that you would be the one that receives glory from our lives. And Lord, today my prayer is that you meet us in this place, and that more than that, we meet you. Father, we give it all to you. In your name we pray. Amen. This passage is basically taking place not long after the Ten Commandments had been given to Moses, and he came down from the mountain and he had seen what was going on, and they were worshiping around, dancing around a calf. And so Moses had threw the tablets down and they had been broken, and so God is going to repair that second pair of tablets, give him another pair of tablets with the law, with the Ten Commandments on it. And so that's what's just taken place. And so as Moses begins to talk to these people, and again, this, we want to always make sure that we stay in context. Anytime we read the Scripture, we need to understand who it was written to, what time it was written, and then take that and apply it to ourselves today. But we need to understand and always take it in context. Too many people want to take one verse here or one verse there out of the Scripture and apply it to however it fits their life. And that is not what the Scripture is called to do. And so as we look at this passage, the children of Israel are stubborn. They're hard-hearted. They are selfish. They are so many things that God did not desire them to be, but that's who they were. And so Moses starts off with this statement, "What does the Lord your God require of you?" And we could go to Micah, and there's a verse in Micah that tells us what the Lord requires of us. It's a little bit different than this one, but this one today is the one I want us to look at. But understand that as we go through this passage, as we talk at first, we're talking about how He is dealing with the children of Israel in that time as they're going through the wilderness. We will take and we'll relate that to us at a later point in the message. Or that's my intention. We may end up somewhere else. Who knows? But as we look at this, He is telling them, "I'm giving you requirements." God gave the children of Israel requirements that they were to follow. And He's going to have a list of them here. He's going to have a list of five of them. If you take notes, today's a real easy day for you to take notes because four of them are on the back of your bulletin and you can just underline them. But what I want us to do is I want us to look at how the children of Israel, who God had chosen, God had protected, God had blessed, He had brought them out of Egypt, and He just wanted certain things from them. He required certain things from them. And what we have to understand is that, yes, God is requiring these things of the children of Israel. And now let's look at where they were at. First, He says that you are to fear the Lord your God. Here are the children of Israel, and they had went through and they had seen the plagues that had happened in Egypt, and they had began to walk out through the wilderness, and God had protected them, God had led them, God had given them. They had seen the fire on the mountain when Moses was up there and the smoke, and they had seen the power of God. And I think, man, surely if they had seen that, if any of us would have been in that situation, and we're down at the foot of this mountain, and we know that Moses had went up there, and we see this fire and this smoke and all the power and the glory of God at the top of this mountain, and we could see it, how could you not fear God? How could you not have this awe and reverence and understanding of the power of God? But they didn't. Because as they went through, they just complained. If they didn't get everything they wanted, they complained. That would be real easy for me to take and insert myself in a lot of these places, but that's not what I'm going to do at this point. But they were to fear God. And instead of fearing God, and they had seen the plagues and all the things that we just talked about, and yet they didn't fear God. They complained when they didn't get what they wanted. Then he tells them, he goes on, he says, not only are you to fear the Lord your God, you're to walk in all His ways. And surely, again, this should have been so easy, because he's leading them by day in a cloud, in the Shekinah glory. The cloud, the glory of God is leading them during the daytime. And then a pillar of fire by night. How could you not walk in His ways? It should be so simple when God's ways are so defined that you can see them. How could you not walk in His ways? It seems like it would be so simple. But yet they just followed God basically out of necessity. They followed, you know, through the Red Sea. They followed the direction because they were wanting out of Egypt. They were doing things because they just wanted, they just wanted to do what they wanted to do, and this was the best option at the time. And again, I could take and I could put myself in that situation, because there are times when God has called us to do something, and we generally would rather take the best option for us. That's the way it works sometimes. And so He tells them that you're to walk in His ways, and they were following Him, but they weren't walking in His ways. They were walking in a group. There was multitudes of people that went out with Him, and it was a mixed multitude that went out of Egypt. There were the children of Israel. They were those Hebrew children. But there was also other slaves, and even Egyptian slaves left with them. And so all these people came out, and as they went, they just kind of followed, because that's the way the crowd went. These people up front, they were following the Shekinah glory cloud, or they were following the pillar of fire. Too many of those people were just following the people in front of them. Ouch. It happens again to me today. I mean, in our life, sometimes we follow good religious people, or we follow family members, siblings, parents, friends. But He said to walk in His ways, not walk in other people's ways. And then He goes on and He says, to fear the Lord, to walk in His ways, and to love Him. Man, surely that would be so easy. You're seeing the power of God. You're seeing how much He loved you. When they were going through the plagues and the judgments in Egypt, and all of these things, and the swarms of flies that were all over the land of Egypt, but in the land of Goshen, where the children of God were, not one fly. And when it was dark in Egypt for 3 days, and it was so dark that you could feel it, but yet in the land of Goshen, there was light. God protected His people through that time because He wanted them to know that there was something special about them. He fed them. He gave them drink. He watched them. He protected them. He fought off Pharaoh's army. All the things that He had done, yet they couldn't love Him. They wouldn't choose to love Him. Now, yeah, they acknowledged who He was. We're going to follow this God of the children of Israel. They knew who He was. But they didn't love Him. They didn't submit to Him. He was just their ticket out of Egypt. Again, seems like it could fit us really well. But to love Him, when it seems like it should be so simple because of His love for them, they didn't do it. And when it seems like for us it should be so simple to see the love He had for us through Jesus Christ, that why would people not love Him back? I don't know. But they don't. We go on. It says, not only to love them, but to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. That service is not just doing things. It is like to serve, like a servant would sweep the floor or pick up dishes or things like that. But to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now this one's maybe a little harder than the others. You know, to fear Him, like I said, you see that. And to walk in His ways, He's leading you. And to love Him because He loves you. But to serve Him, here He's calling and He's requiring something of them. And not just to serve part-time. Not just to serve just a few days a week. Not just to worship on the right days. And not just to do the things that everybody else is doing. But it says, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That has nothing to do with anyone else. Too many times today, our religion has to do with somebody else. He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Those words jump out really strong today. Because if I'm going to worship Him with all my heart and with all my soul, then it has nothing to do with a church service. It has nothing to do, and Stephanie and I have talked about this a couple times over the last two or three weeks, that worship is not the music. It's your heart before God. And if we are to do this, if we are to serve Him, if we are to worship Him, yes, it's great to have a good praise and worship music time. And it's great to have a good Bible study and someone to lead you and to teach me and things like that. Those are good things. But worship has to come from your heart and your soul. Now, it can be motivated by other people and situations and things that happen. But when those people aren't there and those things aren't happening, where does our worship go? It tends to fade away because it's not coming from our heart and soul. To worship Him with everything we've got. This was a requirement for those people. Next requirement, he said, keep the commands of the Lord. Now, he had given them the Ten Commandments, but they had had other commands as well. And that's the statutes which I've commanded you today. So he's given them things to follow, rules to follow, and not just rules, but commandments. Because it was commanded by God to do these things. And we all know the Ten Commandments. We can look those up in the Bible or they're posted on a wall in our house or whatever, and we have those. We know what those are. And for these people, it was required, but they were not faithful. They complained. They followed out of necessity. They just acknowledged Him. They worshiped other gods, and they were not faithful in obeying His commands. So where were they at? Here we have this group of people, and Moses is saying, this is what God requires of you. And then they didn't do it. That's where it's at for these people. But God, out of His grace and His mercy and His love, He provides a sacrificial system that when you fall short, this is what you do. This is the system that you use. And He gave them that opportunity to be faithful. Now, for us, we're going to start turning this thing around and it's going to get pointed really fast. Many people today think that following these same requirements is how they attain salvation. Well, that's not in the Bible. Okay? So if you're mad at me, you get mad at me now. But following these requirements does not get you salvation. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. What we have to understand is these requirements were to show for these people, they were to show that you fall short of what God desires you to be. God desired them to do all these things, to fear, to walk, to love, to serve, and to keep. God required that. It was not optional. But man couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So He provided a way out. And people today think, well, if I have those Ten Commandments, if I follow those Ten Commandments, I will make it to heaven. That's not in the Bible. That is a lie. Following those commandments, fearing the Lord, yes, it's something we should do. Walking in His ways, yes, it's something we should do. Loving Him, serving Him, obeying His Word, those are all things that we should do, but those things will not get you to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be as good as you can be, and you're never going to do those things completely, perfectly, purely. What we have to understand, and this is the tell right here, is that salvation comes by grace through faith. Like I said, believing in Jesus Christ and what He's done. When you get to the point to realize there is no way, there is nothing I can do to earn salvation. Works cannot get salvation. When you get to that point, you are really close to understanding where salvation is at. You can know all these things. You can do all of these things. But there's a verse in Matthew 7:21 where He says, not everyone that says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then right after that, He says, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know you. You may know all about God, but does He know you? You ever thought about that? There are people at churches across the street that know a God. Not the right one, but they know a God. But Jesus says, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. There were people that preached. There were people that taught. There were people that performed miracles in Jesus' name. They've done all those things. And Jesus says, I don't know you. You may know who I am, but I don't know you. People are doing all of the right things, but they don't have salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, I point out these five things because they were requirements that showed man that he was not up to God's standards. There was no way he could be. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You've heard that verse. That's the reason for the law, was to show man that he's fallen short. But I want us to look at these five things for us, because I believe they're not requirements for us. They are evidence for us. Let me explain what I mean. If I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I have surrendered my heart to Him and my life to Him as the Lord of my life, doesn't mean I wear a Christian t-shirt, doesn't mean I carry my Bible, doesn't mean I go to church all the time. If I have surrendered my heart to Jesus Christ and I've given my life to Him, which is what it requires, if that's the case, then my submission to Him allows the Holy Spirit to dwell within me, and my submission to the Holy Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to empower me to do these five things. You cannot change that. When you accept Jesus Christ for real, it's not just a walking down the aisle and praying. It's not just praying because somebody else did. It's not just praying because you're scared. It's because you have surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. And when you've done that, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you, to live in you, and He takes over and empowers you and equips you to do what God has called you to do. And when you are at that point, you will walk in the fear of God. The problem today is many people who claim to be Christians do not walk in the fear of God. He's their buddy. He's their pal. He's their vending machine. But to walk in the fear of God, and that's not to be afraid of Him, but that's to respect the power He has. That's to be in awe of the power He has. That's to be in reverence for who He is. As the God of all creation, as the Lord of lords, as the King of kings, and to live my life knowing that He is there, that is His power, and He is sovereign. And the choices I make are based on my respect and awe of Him. That's the fear of God. And Christians walk through this world every single day without any fear of God. He is just somebody they can call on when things get tough. But if the Holy Spirit indwells in you, there is no way that you can miss the fear of God. And to walk in His ways. If I have that fear of God, if I have that awe of God, and I respect Him the way I should, then how would I ever want to walk any other way? And yes, again, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble. But the bottom line is, I want to walk in His ways. And if I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, I'm either choosing the Spirit to guide me, or I'm guiding myself. If I'm guiding myself, I'm not walking in His ways. When I accept Christ, I may stumble, I may fall, we're all going to, but that's not an excuse. That's not, okay, well, that's going to happen. No. I've got to get back up, and I've got to get back to walking in His ways. And I've got to repent of walking away or stumbling and falling and choosing to do something different. Christians today don't think they have to repent. Well, I did that when I accepted Christ. Well, then if you're perfect right now, you don't need to repent. But there's not a one of us in here that is. And as long as we're not perfect, we need to repent. Because if we don't, we'll never walk in His ways. They were required to love. We're given the option to love. It should come natural when we realize, and Easter's coming up, and people that don't even go to church will understand and hear about Jesus and what He did on the cross, the love that it took for Him to come down and do that. You and I get to walk with that hand in hand every day. To acknowledge and understand the love that He has for me every day. How could I not love Him back? When He says, Steve, I'll take your sins. And I'll cover you with my blood. And I'll cast your sin as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. And I will lead you and I'll guide you and I'll protect you and I'll go and I'll prepare a place for you. And I'll come again to receive you to myself that where I am, there you will be also. How could I not love? And not just love Him, but love His creation. And that's everybody else. There are some people out there, they're not very lovable, and I'm one of them a lot of times. But the bottom line is, I have to look past those mistakes, those issues that I have with that other person, and see that Jesus Christ died for them. And if He loved them that much, and He loved me that much when I looked like that, why can't I love them too? That's what He calls us to do. And it's not a requirement. It's evidence that I understand His love for me. Because I naturally want to love. Because I've been filled with His love. And then to serve or to worship. It's not a get to. It's not a I serve or I worship so that everybody will know or so that I will be right with God. No, it's if I'm right with God, that's what I'll do. When I understand, when I comprehend what's taken place in my heart, I want to worship the one and only God that loved me that much. And I want to serve Him however I can. Serving Him is not going to church. Serving Him is not really preaching or teaching or any of that. Serving Him is worshiping Him with all my heart and just doing whatever. Whatever I do, do it mightily as unto the Lord. That's service. And that will only take place when I submit my will to His, when I accept Christ as my personal Savior. And then the last part, and this part didn't get in your bulletin. It was the next verse. We only put one verse in there. That's okay, because I want to focus on this one. Their last requirement was that they keep the commandments. And people will say today, that's Old Testament. We don't have to do that. Okay? You say what you want to say, but I'm telling you this. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. And I'm not saying that. Jesus said that. To keep His commandments is to obey His word. The hesitation is because I'm going to say something here that maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to say it anyway. How can I obey His word if I haven't picked it up since last Sunday? If I haven't read His word since last Sunday or last Wednesday, how can I obey it when I don't even know it? There are so many people out there that claim to know Jesus Christ, that claim to have accepted Him as their personal Lord and Savior, and they don't even listen, they don't even read the love letter that He has sent to us, the will that He has written down and given to us to follow. If I really love Him, then I will follow His word, and I can't follow His word unless I read it. If you are waiting for me to give you God's word every Sunday, or a Bible study teacher, or a Sunday school teacher, if you're waiting on somebody else, that is not what the Bible says to do. You are to love Him with all your heart. You are responsible. Yes, I am going to be held accountable for saying what God gives me to say, but you are going to stand before Jesus Christ someday, and He's going to say, you didn't even know my word. You didn't even follow what I had to say. You may have picked out the parts that you wanted to do, but what about the rest of it? Are you willing to obey God's word? If I have allowed the Holy Spirit to come in me and I submit to Him, He will give me a hunger for His word. And yes, I want to spend time in church because it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some are doing. We should enjoy being with each other in church because one of these days we're going to spend eternity with everybody that's a Christian. If we love God, we should love His church. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about people should be in here. I'm talking about His church. I can't do that if I don't keep His commandments. If I don't submit, then I can't keep His commandments. I won't submit until I accept Him. And when I accept Him, He calls me to submit. Where are you at? These were requirements for these people. To fear the Lord, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him, to keep His commandments and His statutes. Get this clear, these are not requirements for you and me. Those five things are not requirements for our church today. Those things are evidence. And I want to ask you a question. If these five things are the evidence, the proof that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if that evidence was presented in a courtroom, is there enough to convict you? Because one day you're going to stand in a courtroom. And He's going to say, I never thought that you feared me. You didn't walk in my ways. You didn't love unconditionally. You didn't serve and worship. You didn't even know my words. If we stand in that courtroom, then the words we'll say, we'll hear, will be, depart from me, I never knew you. And so because of that, I want us to understand that God calls us to live in submission to Him. Life is not about us. He's given us a life. He's blessed us with a life. He's blessed us with family and friends and a church and so many other things. And those are blessings. But blessings are not number one. The place, the person from which the blessings come is number one. And until we get that in priority, these five things will never be evidenced in our life. So my prayer this morning is that we would walk from this place and that when we do, that people would see a difference in us. Not because I carry my Bible, not because I have a title as a pastor, but because they see evidence of my salvation. That's what the Bible requires of us. Not to get salvation, but if salvation is there, then evidence is required. If there's no evidence, there's probably no salvation. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we just thank You for all You do. And Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to open Your word. I pray that You would just use it as You want to honor and glorify Yourself. Lord, help me to love You more. Help me submit more. Help me to honor more. I love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.